Can you tell us a little bit about how this one came about, the Edge of the Present virtual reality experience, how this one sort of came about and was developed?
Yeah, so initially it was developed for a festival that I run called Big Anxiety Festival. And we had support from actually the New South Wales government to trial this virtual reality environment and to investigate its capacity to support people who had, serious depression or also suicidal feelings. So we brought together a large group that included experts in suicidal thinking, but mainly people who'd been there and who had survived suicide attempts. And so this idea of Edge of the Present, that came from working with people with lived experience who said, often where we find ourselves is at the edge of the present. So we in a situation where we can't see the future and can't move forward. And so the difficulty is how you shift that when you feel like there's nothing ahead of you. And so we did some workshops with them, and out of this came an environment developed by the lead artist was Alex Davies, who works with virtual reality and physical spaces. And what he created was an environment that you go into it and it's just a plain room. There's a table, chair, doors, nothing else. It's kind of a bit like a, really plain room, all grey. And then you put on a virtual reality headset and you see the same room. So it's quite an amazing experience. You walk around, but because you're in virtual reality, you have the capacity to change that room and how you experience it. So you're just invited to walk around. You can open the windows and doors. But every time you do that, these amazing changes occur so that you open the door and you're in this beautiful, it could be like an alpine scene or a rainforest, and you feel on your skin the sort of warm breeze, and so it's very immersive, and you can walk out into these environments, and every time you open a door or a window, completely transform. And then what we did was we ran an experiment. We exhibited this in the festival, and it was just a lovely virtual experience for anyone who came along. That's really popular. And we understand why, because we did an experiment where we tested people's mood before and after, and we found that it rapidly increased positive emotions. But there was also a significant part to the fact that people were controlling this by opening windows and doors. So you were making a little gesture and sort of choosing the environment that you move into. And that's also something that our research suggests is important in suicidal thinking, where you're at the edge of the present and you don't feel that there's anything to live for. So this idea that you can effect these changes and bring about positive situations is very important. So we got really good data from this, and that's why we've been able to move forward.
Well, speaking of moving forward, how will the project continue to be exhibited and tested, especially in those more extreme cases we talk about with depression and suicidal ideation?
Yes, so we're going to exhibit in Brisbane later in the year, COVID restrictions allowing. And we're going to run what the Suicide Prevention Australia grant allows us to do is to run a kind of intervention where we, in particular, invite people with a history of suicidal thoughts and feelings to engage with the platform, and then we see what effect it has with them. So we'll do a particular study, a more intensive study, with that group to see what results we get and to see that there's our initial study. And there's every indication that it will, because it does have quite a rapid effect on people. And then what we're excited about is how that could then be adapted for all sorts of community settings, and even, you know, psychiatric care settings. So this, what is experienced as a self-directed, you know, it's almost like a game, or it's something you would do for pleasure, could actually be made available for people in need of support. And that's quite a shift, because this isn't something that's you know, like a medical intervention that isn't pleasant in itself. This is something that is all about kind of pleasure and enjoyment. So it's a new way of thinking about treatment, really.
Mm. And these ones are developing incredibly fast in terms of the just the technology itself. In maybe the next 5-10 years, where are you hoping you might see this this one as a tool?
Well, I think that these kind of immersive technologies, they're almost consumer technologies. So you can buy a sophisticated virtual reality headset for, you know, hundreds of dollars, not thousands. So obviously it's not quite in everyone's home, but as the technology develops, it may be something that we just have, like, you know, the TV set or the you know, the PC. So I do think that this is a mode of delivery that will be increasingly available, if not in the home, in kind of community settings, clinics, wherever. But the important thing, I think, is really just that you thinking about the shift away from, you know, mental health as something that you have to treat in, yeah, facility that no one wants to be in. You know, at the moment, if you were in crisis and if you're in a, you know, let's say a psychiatric emergency, you know, you're in a space where you're kind of watched, where there's nothing to do. In fact, you might be in a room with literally nothing in it because of the concern about self-harm. But a different way of thinking is really how we can provide, yeah, these supports that are designed for and by people with, you know, mental health issues or issues around, if not suicidality, you know, depression and anxiety. But it's really producing things that are of a completely different order, that are just about doing things that make life more pleasant and hopefully have a beneficial effect.
Well, Jill, it's an intriguing one. Really do appreciate you joining us and having a chat with us about this one this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.